Today's message is The Chosen Fast, Part 2. So let's pray. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the spiritual disciplines that Jesus taught us and that are taught all throughout your word, the Old Testament and New Testament. And we are doing this for your kingdom, for your honor, for your glory, Lord. We're fasting and praying and doing evangelism for these 21 days. We've already made it through 7 days. Praise the Lord. And we just believe we're going to get stronger and stronger and better and do more things for your kingdom as you anoint us and you honor us, because we're doing your chosen fast. We're doing it for the purpose, Lord, of feeding the hungry, alleviating all pain and sickness and sin and the things that the devil has thrown upon the world, but especially spiritual hunger. We want to help with the physical hungry around the world, but we want to really focus on the spiritually hungry during this time, Lord. We want you to give us your heart. Break our heart for what breaks yours. And we know nothing breaks your heart like lost souls, like people dying and not receiving Jesus and going to hell, or people that have never had a chance to hear the gospel and dying and being lost forever. Nothing breaks your heart. So break our hearts for what breaks yours. Give us your heart for lost souls. Help us, Lord, to just be filled with the fire and the passion of the Holy Spirit that the first apostles and the first disciples had in the church, where that's all they did was go and preach the gospel and speak the gospel everywhere they went and minister to people in every area of the earth. Again, let that fire fall and let that fire spread like never before, starting here in Paoli, then Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, throughout the United States and throughout the whole earth. We're believing for a great harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we learned about God's chosen fast, which simply means this is the type of fast that he prefers us to do when we fast. And that was in Isaiah 58. He says, "This is the fast that I have chosen." This is Isaiah speaking for the Lord. "To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke." Although fasting benefits us ourselves spiritually and physically in many ways, Isaiah tells us that Father God doesn't just want us to fast for our own benefit in this chapter, but that when we align our fasting with his reason for fasting and we work with him to alleviate human need, both spiritual and physical, that he will loose the bonds of wickedness. He'll undo the bonds of the yoke. He'll let the oppressed go free, and that through us, he will break every enslaving yoke. Isn't that awesome? Then he goes on the promise. God goes on the promise. As we work with him, we will enjoy his guidance, abundant supply of good things, health and strength, beauty and fruitfulness, and we can even be part of national restoration. I believe we know that that chapter specifically deals with Israel, but I believe that as we work with God and partner with God through prayer and fasting and evangelism, we can be part of national restoration in America, in Israel, and any nation that he sends us to for his kingdom, because that's the power of the gospel. Amen? And that's how powerful our God is. In verse 12, the Living Bible tells us this, words verse 12 this way. He tells us through Isaiah, "We will rebuild the long deserted ruins of our cities." How many of you know there are a lot of our cities that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that need to be renewed, that need to be transformed and rebuilt? And that's only going to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit and the church as the gospel is preached. It says, we will be known as the people who rebuild their walls and cities. Hallelujah. But we're not only fasting, we're fasting and praying, right? Because we know that when God's people humble themselves and pray and repent and turn from their wicked ways, good time of the year to do that, as we were just talking about, God hears the cries of our hearts, and he will perform great and wondrous deeds that only he can accomplish through his mighty, almighty power as we work with him. We know it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that's what we're doing, right? And turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Praise God, there's so many awesome testimonies in the Old Testament that testify to the benefits of prayer and fasting. We looked at one last week. I'll look at it again. Nehemiah is one of my favorite ones. Remember Nehemiah, when he heard the report about his city and about his people and the condition that they were in, what did he do? Well, Nehemiah verse 1, chapter 4, or chapter 1, verse 4 tells us, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and I mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying and crying out before the God of heaven. See, that's where God wants us to get. He wants us to get to the point where we're weeping and wailing. Pete talks about this, and I heard a brother preach on it the other night, Lindell Cooley. He wants us to get back to travailing in prayer for the souls of the lost people. Amen? That's where it happens. And that's exactly what Nehemiah was doing. He wasn't just, you know, going through his little prayer list and repeating his prayer every day. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But I think he wants us to get to the point where we have his heart, and whatever breaks his heart breaks ours so much that we're weeping and wailing and crying out for people. I'm not there yet, I'll be honest with you. But I think that's where we need to get. Amen. I think he wants us to have that much of his heart for the people. Sometimes, though, you know, when you fast and pray, we think we're just going to see those results, boom, right away. But it doesn't always happen that way. It happened to me, we were out witnessing. We went out witnessing Thursday. I mean, I was fired up because we've been fasting and praying. I thought, man, we're going to see some awesome stuff today. We didn't see anything. There was like hardly anybody out there. Everybody, no one even wanted to take a track hardly. No one wanted to talk to you. So after we left, I'm like, Lord, what's going on, man? We're fasting, praying. And he said, just don't get discouraged, you know. Because as soon as I did that, the devil whispered in my ear, look, you don't need to do that. See, that didn't even work. You don't need to fast and pray. It doesn't even work. But sometimes he's a liar. We know he's the father of lies. But it takes a little while. If you read in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it took 4 months for God to answer Nehemiah's prayer and fasting. It tells us right there. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. One day, 4 months later, when Emperor Artaxerxes was dining, I took the wine to him. He'd never seen me look so sad before. So he asked, why are you looking so sad? You aren't sick, so it must be that you're unhappy. I was startled and answered, may your majesty live forever. How can I keep from looking sad when the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The emperor asked, well, what is it that you want? And look what he does. He doesn't answer him right away. He says, I prayed to the God of heaven, and then I said to the emperor. So he paused right there for a moment and prayed and asked God again. Before he even answered the king, he said a quick prayer because he wanted to get this right. He wanted God's blessing on it. He says, if your majesty is pleased with me and is willing to grant my request, let me go to the land of Judah, to the city where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild the city. Then he gives him a long list of things that he wants. And in verse 8, Nehemiah 2, verse 8, he says, the emperor gave me everything that I asked for. Why? Because God was with me. Isn't that awesome? So Don't get discouraged. Keep fasting. Keep praying. Keep moving forward. Don't let the devil tell you that it doesn't work, because it does. Right, Ralph? Amen. All right, so now we're going to get to the evangelism. We're not only fasting and praying, but remember, I encouraged you, while you're taking the time to pray and fast, seek the Lord for the harvest and for revival and awakening, try to, at some point during the day, pass out a tract. Give out a gospel tract and share the gospel with somebody. Okay? It's important that we do that. Church got, for some reason, the church got out of teaching that. I have no idea why, but I know when I first got saved, that was part of my discipleship. They taught you to share your faith. Right away, that was one of the first things they taught you to do. That was one of the most important things for them to teach you to do. For some reason, they stopped doing that. But it's important, and it's very important to the Lord, and it's very important for your spiritual health and strength to do that. It's one of the most important spiritual exercises, I believe, that we can do to keep ourselves spiritually strong. We're praying to see revival, great awakening in Paoli and Philly, and that our nation, for the purpose of a great harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. Do you know that the Apostle Paul, how he started his ministry? With prayer, fasting, and evangelism. First, we're going to look at Paul's conversion. The very first time, after he got knocked off his horse, and the Lord spoke to him, remember what happened? He had him take him to the city, and let's read. Acts chapter 9, verses 6 through 20. We'll read the whole story. Fasting, prayer, evangelism. This is how he started his ministry. Talk about a quick conversion. He didn't have to learn the way of the master. He didn't have to go through discipleship. He didn't have to go through all that stuff. Boom, Lord knocked him off his horse. He's praying, fasting. The guy comes to him and says, well, let's read it. Let me read it. Acts 9, verse 6 through 20. This is Paul. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go in the city, and you'll be told what you must do. How many of you know we've all been told what we're supposed to do? There's no excuse for any of us. Right? Just throw that out there. Go to the city, and you'll be told what you must do. The men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand, because he was blind now, he had scales on his eyes, and brought him into Damascus. And listen to this, and he was there 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drank anything. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, fasting, praying, right? And in a vision, while he's doing it, he sees a vision. And in a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So thank God Ananias was obedient. Amen. Then Ananias answered, well, he had to give the Lord, he had to talk to the Lord about this a little bit first. Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. It's kind of like Moses, like, oh, Lord, really, I don't want to go do this. But the Lord said to him, go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, And he rose and was baptized. All this is happening, looks like, in a few days, all right? So when he had received food, he was strengthened. And then look what he does. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Look at the word here. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. How did Paul start his ministry? Fasting, prayer, evangelism. Not only that, did you also know his very first missionary trip to the Jews, and then ultimately his turning from the Jews and focusing on the Gentiles and taking the gospel to the Gentiles, was launched how? Through some teachers and prophets who were doing what? Guess what they were doing? Fasting and praying as they were ministering to the Lord, which means they were serving the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord. The word ministry there means they're serving, they're bowing down, they're minister, they're worshiping. They're in church service. That's what it means. They're having service, but they're praying and fasting, these prophets and teachers. So turn to Acts 13. We'll see exactly what they were doing when the Holy Spirit sets Paul and Barnabas apart for their special assignment for Jesus and the kingdom of God. Are you there yet? Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who's also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having what? Fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. That's how Paul's first missionary journey was launched. Through some, at a church service. Don't be surprised, maybe some of you will get a call today. A missionary call. We're all called to be missionaries in our own area. You don't have to go to a foreign land to be a missionary. Amen? So the church dedicated Barnabas and Saul to the work that God had for them at a church service through prayer and fasting. To dedicate means to set apart for a special purpose. As we fast and pray, we've heard from multiple prophets and people and teachers and pastors and saints of God that we're about to enter the greatest harvest time ever known in church history. A harvest like never before. And guess what? He has a special purpose for you and for me in the harvest, for each one of us. He wants each of us to be set apart and participate in what he's doing to reach the lost with the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. The question is, are we willing to make the sacrifice of our time, money, talents, our lives? Do we really want to dedicate ourselves to be a laborer for this harvest? I do. Do you? Are we all in agreement? So if we're all in agreement, then I think that what we should do is dedicate today, dedicate this church and ourselves to the Lord of the harvest during this service. This includes dedicating our time, money, and talents for God's work of the harvest. So, as the ministry, the handmaidens come. And as we continue with our ministry, this is our ministering to God in this service, let's all listen. Remember, who's the main person that told them to set Paul and Barnabas apart? The Holy Spirit. Who's the one who's going to tell you what to do? The Holy Spirit. So while we're ministering to the Lord right now, listen to the Holy Spirit. Let him tell us what he wants each one of us to do, to dedicate. Let him tell you what he wants you to dedicate to him, to help him reap the great harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. It's going to be the greatest harvest of souls that the kingdom of God has ever seen so far. Amen? So just listen. He has a special purpose for each one of us. He wants to set each one of us apart to do that. That's what we're praying and fasting for. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We do. We dedicate ourselves to you. We dedicate this church to you for the harvest, for the great harvest, for the kingdom of God. To be soul winners for you. Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us today in an awesome, special way. Let us know, as a church, what you want us to set apart and dedicate to you, and as individuals. And Lord, you may even have a special call upon each person's life today. You may be calling some not only to be missionaries in their sphere of influence, but to be missionaries across the seas and throughout the world. But Lord, I believe you want to launch ministries today. And that's all going to happen as we get involved in serving with you and each other together, being that garment knit together for the harvest. And we believe this in Jesus' name. Amen.